So for those responsible wine drinkers and wine lovers, let me turn you on to First Leaf. I think it's pretty cool that First Leaf is a company that allows you to try lots of different kinds of wines from all over the world. Wine is truly everywhere. As a First Leaf member, you take a quiz and First Leaf will get to know your unique taste profile and preferences. Based on those answers, First Leaf curates a package for you, and then you get to rate those wines so that your selection can be even more tailored the next time. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable. Tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Vulnerable, where I get to interview my bestie, E.G. Daily. I love her so much. She's got the best energy. You guys know her from Pee-wee's Playhouse as an on-camera actress, but she's an iconic voiceover actor. Tommy and Rugrats, Powerpuff Girls, I mean, you name it. She's just so fantastic. But even better than her voice and her acting is just the life that she's lived. So, million lifetimes, we share it all. Hope you enjoy this episode of Vulnerable. What's up, Eej?
How are you doing, girl?
No, I say Eej, and I've never even asked you.
Yeah, that's what people call me.
People call you Eej, right?
It's
E.G.
good.
Daily.
Eej.
The iconic, incomparable, amazing, badass.
What does badass mean? Let's break it down.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, literally, it's bad.
Like,
and
as
it's
a
an
word.
Such
it's a bad.
How did they come up
ass?
With that?
You're right. How did they? And you know that they've said that about our characters.
Yeah, badass.
They're thinking
about
so
it.
Badass.
How do they come up with those two words to mean?
You're right. It's so arbitrary. So, what should we say instead? Baddie. I think baddie's the new thing.
I don't know.
It's, you stay up on all the stuff.
No, I don't know. Not anymore.
E.G. and I were able to, I feel like, reconnect.
Yeah.
But really connect.
Yeah.
Once I started doing the podcasts, last year has been really crazy.
Yeah, tell me.
How have you been?
Like, why do you say it was crazy?
So the strike.
Yeah.
I haven't really been in studios since the strike. I don't think it was like mm-hmm. I was dodging. I do all these interviews back to back and it's so wonderful mm-hmm. that folks show up and give me their time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because like the last time all these actors were coming and they wanted to tell me about their projects and we mm-hmm. had to be like.
No one had a project to talk about?
We had to talk around it. We had to give clues. It was a really weird time. And then that lasted months because those were, and luckily we've all moved on from the strike.
Okay, so here's my experience with the strike.
Please tell me.
It didn't affect voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't affect us. Like there was.
And certain reruns, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I was careful about all those because I did not want to be a scab or whatever they call you.
Yeah.
So for me, I was able to do, I was recording Rugrats. So that was just a gift. And I also did some other show that was also a gift.
Mm.
So voiceovers was a different contract. However, you know, for me on camera is weird because I don't really, I'm not in that loop where I'm like sending in self tapes and auditioning and have tons of rep calling me to like audition for this and audition for that. I sort of am that person that like I just do my life and then someone will call me and be like, can you do this movie or can you do this?
You're on the short list of anybody, in my opinion. You, Tara. And-
it's great, but it also means that I'm not getting the pick of the litter. Do you know what I mean? I'm sort of like, I kind of sit back and then people sort of call me and say, hey, we have this thing for you. Could you do it?
Yeah.
And I do like that.
Yeah, of course.
It also like, that was one of the things I was going to say about the new year that kicked in. Mm-hmm. And you might relate to this, but like as new year started ramping in, or even the holidays started ramping in, I start feeling like everybody starts to feel a little anxiety. I don't know. The holidays are tricky and there's a lot of pressure. I think I posted about that. I was like, do you guys feel like it's a lot of pressure, you know, like presents and decorating and it's fun. And sometimes it's easy and sweet. And sometimes it's like, I don't want to do it. So the holidays started to ramp in and then I got the flu and I thought, okay, this is kind of perfect.
This flu is bad.
It was a bad one. The fevers, it's bad.
Really bad.
But the thing that was interesting about it was it basically shot out any plans I had from Christmas on. Mm. And in a weird way, it was good for me because the big lesson for me in life lately has been like, how about if you just sit back and really feel out what really genuinely makes you happy? Like what actually feels like the right next move? If you really were to sit back and go, I feel like doing this right now. And you really listen from one moment to the next. What an incredible day you would create for yourself as opposed to those ones where you think, I have to do this and I have to force that and I have to make this. So the holidays kicked around and I literally just laid back and just was lying in bed, sleeping, watching movies, drinking soup. That was it. Uh-huh. And then I started to feel like anxiety kicking in when New Year's started to roll around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have anxiety right now. It's weird. Mm. There's a lot of like anxiety started to kick in because I realized why is because I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Like my affirmation, I'm going to find my perfect person and I'm going to
eat the grapes under the table. Everybody does that thing.
What the it's hell? No, thing. No. But it was like all this anticipation and all this, like, I have to like get new rep again and I have to hustle new pictures. And
you
I
need
have
a new rep?
Yeah, I do.
Come on
I
now.
Need to get some new rep.
Yeah.
But the thing is I don't really want to.
Nobody's happy with their reps, by the way, is. In Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm fine. Mine are fine. We're not doing much.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm actually good with that right now. But the end of my message was like, at the end of the day, it was like the anxiety was kicking in and I had to really think about what was going on and talk it out with people. And it was because for the first time I was like, I'm going to experience this year and try not to force anything, to literally just be like, I'm just going to have a really sweet day. I'm going to do the next indicated thing. I want to do what makes me happy. Mm. I'm going to only reach out to people that feel right. Like call that person, like call this person, reach out to that person. And that's what I've been doing. And it's making it a really sweet new year. It's not like pressure and that feels good.
Yeah. You think it's sustainable?
I don't know. That's what I'm
have gonna, you ever lived like this in the past of your life? Or is this like a whole new philosophy?
Honestly, it feels like the times in my life where I didn't force and pressure myself were when the best things came to me.
And you were the most present.
That's it.
Yeah.
I was the most present because I wasn't thinking I should be there when I was here. And there is something about that right now. Mm. There's something for me in like, I've been doing this for decades. I mean, like you've been doing it a long time. Mm. I've been doing it for decades. Yeah. And then there's this whole other piece of like, my kids grew, I raised my kids, which you're going to see as your kids get older and all of a sudden the kids are adults and they move out. And then you're left with, who am I if I'm not always hustling?
Oh, shit.
It's crazy. It was like, I had to go through like
who
I moved
am
to the,
I if yeah. I'm not hustling.
Who am
you
I?
You can't just follow them? You no, can't follow your kids?
They don't want you to.
But who gives a shit what they want? You love them. Teach me, please.
You love your children. They're adults, but they're doing their lives. Like there's an emptiness is real. Like you're supposed to like let them fly.
I feel physically ill. Like I literally just got a pit in my stomach.
Oh girl, I was like, move to the beach. Don't feel any of this. Just go live in the beach, try a new life. And I was like sitting at the beach going like, where are my family?
Were you bored? You were so bored.
I was
bored.
So bored.
Your beach is actually, I just saw her beach house in one of these TikToks that went viral.
Caleb, who does the house tour.
He like goes into people's houses and she's like, this is my awesome beach house. And I thought that's where she lived primarily, but you also have a new one that just came out.
Well, not a new one. I have a house that I've had for a long time. But during COVID, I was just like, well, my kids moved out and COVID kicked in and I lived with them for a little while. I prolonged my empty nest because it's COVID. We have to live together. It's a weird time in life. We all get to live together.
You're like, come on, guys.
Yeah, and they were fine with that. They were like, Mom, come to our place. And we all stayed together and we would wash our fruit at the door. And although we were COVID.
It was a weird fucking time.
It was so weird.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
But I will say, quite like what you were saying about being sick and having to like sit there and kind of connect with your higher power. Yeah. And just slowed down. Yeah. I did the same thing. My 10-year wedding anniversary was on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And it was a really wild, you know, for me, my sobriety is triggered a lot during the holidays.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Is that because of anxiety?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, my
it's hard to feel.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's hard to feel in control. Yeah. And then you start to feel anxious about what else is gonna dump on my plate.
It's all in here only. It's not even real.
Yeah, because you have every right to say no.
Yeah.
And so you start to think of yourself as the arbitrary badass. You're like, I'm a badass. I can do all this. I'm superwoman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in some ways, some of the characters I've portrayed
are badass.
And if they've informed me or misinformed me that I am them.
Powerpuff Girls.
Right. Badass. Did you ever feel that? Actually, let's kind of chat about that.
Okay, what?
Like how much, I know, and it's weird to think like little animated characters that somebody draws and they like represent. Somehow merge, infuse with your subconscious.
Yeah.
But like, think about it. If you had the privilege of being able to voice a character that becomes a societally known as a certain like moment in time, a certain, it means a lot to a lot of people, generations of peoples. It can't, you can't help but kind of identify with it, right?
Yeah.
Is that just me?
Yeah, because it's a piece of who you are. You create, you become, you represent this character and it lives in you. It comes out of your mouth or whatever. And so, yeah, how great is that to represent a character that actually people adore and want to be? They actually cosplay as, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You know what I would always be really honored by?
What?
Is when people would come back and they'd be like, hey, how would your character say this? For like, not as fans, but as like, if they were doing an ADR or they needed an extra line or like something like a video game or like something else. And they were like, how would your character say this? And it would be up to you to not just give the character's voice, but to actually say the words that you think that they would be motivated to say in that moment.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Right? And it's like, you're like, wait, I actually kind of am.
Yeah,
representing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
You know, we wanted to get together a long time ago. EG has been so great about following up with me, and so
that's because you're getting real, girl. That's like that's it. You know, connection, real.
So, what do you think about vulnerable? Then I'm curious. I mean, why has it been on your radar?
Well, because we did your other podcast and we talked about it, and you said I'm doing this other podcast. You hadn't even started doing yet.
This was like the first
called Vulnerable, and I'm just like I'm all about like. You know, everything about me is very open and very raw. And as I, you know, as I continue my journey, especially like Hollywood stuff and work and how you're represented in Hollywood and who you are as a human being and really like not allowing this thing to overshadow all of this. And like the saying that I really think is important is don't let your ambition get in the way of taking care of yourself. And sometimes our careers can make you feel like, I got to get on the hamster wheel. I got to make a career, my career. I got to keep my status up. I got to keep my numbers up. I got to keep my TikTok numbers up. Well, when you talked about vulnerable, I was like, these are clues for me. Like, this is where I'm like, I want to do that. Like, it's very simple. It's like, is it a hell yes in my body or is it a hell no in my body? And it's like somebody asked me to sing at this thing recently and I was like, I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. And I was like, why don't I want to? And sometimes the why isn't even really, it didn't really matter. It was that it made me feel sick to my stomach thinking about it. And I love singing. It's just that I don't want to sing at a certain type of thing at a certain venue where I just, I don't know. It was just a thing.
You don't even have to make the consideration for it. It's just, you're the artist. It's your talent. I actually have, in speaking about this vulnerability, and then I want to kind of double back down to the meaning of the word and what has transpired in the growth of the podcast itself, it's grown a lot.
So for those responsible wine drinkers and wine lovers, let me turn you on to First Leaf. I think it's pretty cool that First Leaf is a company that allows you to try lots of different kinds of wines from all over the world. Wine is truly everywhere. As a First Leaf member, you take a quiz and First Leaf will get to know your unique taste profile and preferences. Based on those answers, First Leaf curates a package for you and then you get to rate those wines so that your selection can be even more tailored the next time. Do you like red, white, rosé, you name it, they have it. Best of all, you get to choose when your shipment comes in right to your door. Also, being a member does have its perks. They have a wine concierge, so you can call and be like, hey, I am making this amazing spring dinner for Easter, and I want to make sure that I have the right white or whatever it is that pairs with it, and wine concierge has your back. Pairing wines with food is actually an art form for sure. You can even inquire about pairing the wines in your box as well. Members also get membership pricing, which means that they are cheaper than your average store. Join the club today and discover new wines you'll love with First Leaf. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable to get your first box. That's tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable. Tryfirstleaf.com/vulnerable.
I have a really kind of complex relationship to my skill sets.
Okay.
And so I have suffered from a lot of like, I feel like I have been on Broadway multiple times and that was fantastic and privileged, but I'm fucking terrified to sing in public anymore.
It's funny, right? Yeah.
And I'm kind of saying to my kids.
What do you think scares you about it?
Judgment.
Forgetting your words.
Forgetting my words.
I get that too.
Yeah.
We all do though. So if you talk to more singers, they say the same shit.
Mm.
That's why now a lot of people have, I know you in Broadway, you can't do that, but they have a little iPad when they sing live with their words. And
I probably would feel a lot better if that were the case.
I do the same thing, but it's the perfectionism piece. And then the thing is, when you're a perfectionist, that keeps you from taking action because then you go into fear, which I can't. That was my resolution. It's like some of my people are like, what do you want to, what's your resolution? I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that.
You're like, that's my resolution.
I don't want to do it.
I'm not doing
it. Yeah. But I did sit with some lady friends of mine and we wrote down like, what did you do this year that you liked? What did you do this year that you
reflective.
Didn't like? And what would you like to sort of shift a little this year? There was no heaviness about it.
Right.
And what it was being braver, being more fearless, taking more risks, trying different things, and listening to what makes me happy. It wasn't the same thing. It wasn't like my usual. It's like, I want to find my soulmate and I want to,
So know. You've been hard on the resolution training.
Oh my God, my whole, because that's what I've done my whole, like you, I started in the entertainment business when I was young.
I mean, I remember now when we spoke, we talked about how you grew up here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you had a really wonderful upbringing that was really creative.
Yeah.
And that your mom would give you guys tambourines, right? And you guys would perform. And it was like kind of like almost like not a circus, but like it was fun,
sounds
right?
Sounds like a circus.
It does sound like a circus, but
she would go to a yard sale.
Yeah.
And then she would like, because my parents were like immigrants from Europe. They just traveled here. They had a trailer.
Yeah.
They only lived in one room behind a house with three babies, two babies, and then, you know, three kids. And then I was born and my brother was born here. We were the first generation here. But my mom would go to a yard sale and then she'd pick up like a weird guitar or a little weird instrument. Even if it was broken, she would bring it home and put it on the floor and somebody of the five kids would pick it up. So it turns out all the kids in the family can play all kinds of instruments, except for my sister. She's like a painter. She goes by Wren River and she's an amazing, she's the only one that went to college.
Her name's Wren River?
Wren River, yeah.
My God, what a beautiful name.
Yeah. R-E-I-N-E. It's French. It's like Wren, like queen in French. Wow. River. And she's an amazing painter. Like, she does like Western and beautiful. She's skilled, very skilled.
Yeah.
She's a master painter and she's like taught and she's been like.
But how crazy that your parents didn't push it on you guys.
They
and
couldn't.
Yet you found it.
Yeah, that was weird.
You know, like when babies, they put like, there's like a ceremony. It's like they put three or four different like objects in front of a baby.
Oh.
And it's a ceremony where the baby will crawl to something that's like
draws
something arithmetic or science. Oh. Or art or something else.
That's what it sounds like.
And based on where the baby gravitates to, it's like a predictor of like what the baby will do.
I believe that. I believe that. I believe that because I don't know if I shared this with you last time, but like when your babies are born, there's like all these very significant things you can see about a baby. Like when your babies were born, when they put your baby on you, like the very way they're looking at you, think about it. The very way they're looking at you is who their whole personality is. Like one of my kids came out and she was like really wide eyed and she was like, wah, wah, like really wide eyed. She looked like a little alien.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Scary accurate
wait,
age.
Wait.
You just do that for a living.
And then, that was like her, the way she did it. The other one came out and she was like sneering and looking at everyone like, give me the boob. You know, she was very determined.
Give me the boob, lady.
She was like, give me the boob. Yeah. And so like what's weird is that's the same thing. It's like really... everything is in the person, the baby, the child there. Then it's just what
wild.
Happens is, yeah, but people, all those other influences, like you should do this. You should really do that. It's a more secure thing if you do this. And then people get all confused and they spend half their life doing something
paralyzed.
Doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Paralyzed.
And then they wake up one day like, why do I have anxiety? Why am I depressed? It's because, I haven't been doing what fills me up that is my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing somebody else's journey.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you be lit up if you're not on your own journey?
Yeah, for real. I'm turning 40 in March.
Happy birthday, girl.
you're coming to the party.
I'm coming to
you
the party.
You are coming to that party.
Where are you doing it at?
I'm going to do it. So get this. I'm just curious what you think. I think you'll like it.
Right.
I didn't want to do, you know, people do like 80s parties. People do, you know,
those
like.
Those are fun.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They're
amazing. What are you doing?
I'm doing Never Grow Up, Peter Pan theme.
So we can be
but
like.
Sexy.
So how would that look?
But sexy. Because people were like, wait, that's like a kid's party. I was like, no. It's like rustic, like, you know, think greens and browns and golds and like but
like
I was.
Fairy.
Yes.
Like.
Fairyland. Like. It's because it's Malibu. And so the
like Tinkerbell-ish, not really.
I would not be dressed as Tinkerbell, but I would think people could kind of dress sort of like when I say rustic, I mean like woodland.
I know
like
what you mean.
Colors.
Like woody, like Renaissance fairy.
Yes,
not really, but kind of
fair.
Like browns and rusty and shabby.
Yes, like a Ren fair. Yes.
I like that.
Right. But it's the never grow up mentality. It's a trap.
Yeah.
So it's
that's
like
interesting.
Keeping the magic. And I don't know if you, can relate to this, but you know, I've obviously had a very long relationship with Disney, and I actually still love going to the parks, even though it's like, you know, how the sauce is cooked and you've worked with them for years. I still believe in magic.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's integral to staying young, and you're one of the people that is so timeless to me. And so I wonder, is that part of how you stay youthful in your mind?
I really don't feel like, I feel like my age is older, but I just feel like my spirit is I feel like I have so many, I feel like my spirit is like my kid's age.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, I'm wiser and I'm their mom and stuff. But to be honest, like I live around a lot of young people and there is really no difference.
Yeah.
And I've actually practiced, because what I used to do was try to be like, act very like the mom. I don't feel my age a lot.
Yeah.
I do in some way. I do in my wisdom wise age.
Yeah.
But I really don't as far as like my ability to just keep up with, like, I love learning from like children. Like my thing is like, you can learn from a child. You can learn from adult. The message. It's not, what do they say? It's not the messenger. It's the message. Mm. You can learn from a crazy person on the street talking about, like I heard a crazy, like very homeless, crazy person on the street saying, "The sky is falling. It's like concrete on my head."
Oh,
it's
God.
Like, and it was such
so
a profound,
painful,
yeah, it was such a profound, but I'm just saying there are messages everywhere and they come from children, they come from adults. And my thing is just like to be constantly teachable, to always be like, how can I be open and teachable and where am I going to learn my next beautiful thing from? And I never think that I'm too old to learn, that I never think that you're too young to teach me. And I just feel like I'm like a little kid because I'm wide open.
Yeah, that's very different from when people think, my midlife crisis is that it's very sort of interwoven to hustle culture. Where it's like, I have to, and to be honest, like when I started doing social media, I was very concerned with like what was trending, you know, and as a creator too, it's like, you got to be informed about that stuff and it's changing all the time. But there is a fine line between creation and the, I guess, the hustle of it, right?
Contriving the creation.
Contriving. Interesting.
Yeah, because you are, that's the thing. Okay, this is interesting. So this is the thing that's tying me to the New Year's, and when I was starting to feel some anxiety kicking in the New Year's, was that I didn't want to contrive. It's hard when you've had success, right? Young. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of different success. I've done a lot of big movies and I've been on Friends and I've been a lot of pivotal, iconic projects. But then what happens is you get, it's really easy because Hollywood wants to keep you there too. They're like, oh my God, you're a peak daddy. Oh my God. And those are things I'm super proud of. Mm-hmm. But what happens is it's hard not to keep grabbing who you were and trying to pull it up as your calling card for today.
Because I call it a narcissistic purgatory.
Ooh, that's good.
Isn't that crazy?
Narcissistic purgatory.
It's like you have to be thinking about yourself.
But that's true because you're constantly like, look at who I am. Look at who I've been. Look at me. Look at what I've done. But that's the thing about which ties into the New Year's is like, it is good to acknowledge all the beautiful work you've done, but you also have to go from there to what's the next new work. What's the new, like, you have to reinvent constantly. You have to refresh. You have to hit a refresh.
I hear you.
And
that.
It's really hard not to want to grab the past and keep bringing it in, which is what I'm talking about, like where you're talking about contriving, Like you want to post, like I had a post that went to like 19 million.
Yeah.
You know, or one that went to 10 million or whatever. And then I keep thinking, I'll do something just like that. I'll do something just like that. I'll post that again.
Well,
and
they tell you to do that.
Yeah, but then nothing happens with it. And then you just keep trying to recreate. Yeah. And that's the contrived part. And that's why the challenge is to stay being fearless and being willing to take a risk so that you could try new things and stay true to yourself, because sometimes it's like it's not going to get a ton of hits, but you're going to feel genuine. You're going to feel like you really tapped into something real. Today I went online, and I don't know why I haven't done a live on TikTok, and I think I've only done them once or twice since I've been on TikTok. But this morning it was like I was dressed and I was getting ready to come here and I was done doing all my stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to go on a live. I just heard a little voice. Go on a live, do a little live. And I didn't think much. I thought I was going to be on for 2 minutes. I would say hi just because people like that. And they're like, ah. And I went on and I just stayed on for like 15, 20 minutes. And there were a lot of nice, sweet questions and people really sharing things with me. And, you know, and it just kept growing. It went to, like I said, almost 15,000 people.
That's a
lot of people in like 15 minutes or, you know, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But what it was these are the kinds of things when I said in the resolution, I want to take more risks. Meaning not just hold on to what I think is safe that's going to work, but what is going to be the next new thing? Mm-hmm. Because you have to explore. Mm-hmm. And that's scary because we want to do what works.
As you said, we've both been in it decades, as many years, and I would say eras.
Yeah.
That you've seen eras. Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like grow and change from way before Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
You were a rock star on Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Dating lots of rock stars. Like, I wanted to get into some of those juicy tips.
Those were my lists when I found my, like, who I hooked up with list. You know, those
can
little
you even remember?
No, I wrote them down for a long time. I just would write them down for a long time. Now I don't. Now it's far and few between. But the list was like the rocker with the skinny legs.
The guy you gave them names, right?
I didn't remember their name. I was so bad.
I did that too. I totally did that too.
The guy with the big hair and nice teeth. The guy with the skin rash on his thumb. You know, it was like,
skin rash on his thumb. Yeah, I love that. Who is that guy? He's a pirate.
I don't know what the hell, but I had a lot of rocker boyfriends.
Oh my God. Yeah me too. I had a lot of boyfriends.
So you're saying like generational, we've gone through a lot of generations.
Eras of this town.
Yeah.
You are still here.
Yeah.
I felt like I was drawn to get out. I have so much respect for you. And even like, say, Tara Strong and whatever. Like, I think she went up to Canada more often, right? Did you ever feel competitive with her? Like, really? Like, when you first met, you were like, wait, there's
no,
this other person.
Not at all, because I didn't know her. And
she
just moved here from Canada. And so, and she was younger than me. So I kind of felt like,
you're not concerned. Like, that doesn't upset you or trigger you, younger people.
And I just
think
everybody has their own path. Like, you know what I mean? You can get off your path by trying to compete with somebody else's path. And there are moments where you might get, like, if somebody's booking more jobs and you're like, why? I kind of tend to look at it as, like, what can I learn that I'm not doing that maybe I'm not being fresh about? Or maybe, you know, there might be moments where, like, one of my friends is booking more and I'll be like, what's going on? And I have to remember, like 5 years ago, I was the one booking all the jobs. Mm-hmm. So, like, and everybody goes through their moments where you feel a little bit like, why aren't I, what's going on here? What's, and those are the moments that you have to, like, regroup and then, like I said, renew and refresh.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, I get that. I get where you're at right now. I haven't worked traditionally in Hollywood for like 10 really? Years, like since I started having kids, maybe a little bit after. Yeah.
But you're doing the podcast.
I have my own company now.
Yeah.
It's a media company. It's Podco and we're building and growing. I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
And that's the focus. And when you're actually sort of like building a company that becomes your life.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not making any sort of like worries about it, but you know, there's been talk of a reboot for Kim Possible.
Yeah.
How amazing would that be?
Beautiful.
And I think to myself, I project and I'm like, holy shit. Like if this were to happen, what would change? Would I need to be prepared? And like, the anxiety comes from the idea of the opportunity.
And also because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to be back in that rat race again. Do you have any of those fears?
For sure.
You know, and also because we're starting to live life like you're raising your children. That's a big part of your life. Where'd you guys move to again?
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, you moved to Texas. So it's like, am I going to have
to Austin,
move?
Texas.
Well, Austin, Texas. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to, there's those fears of like, I think anything like when something new starts to kick in, I think it does create some anxiety. It's like,
I don't want to be away from the babies,
no,
right?
No, like, I get it. And there's fear. That. But mm-hmm. you can create it the way you want. Like you mm-hmm. can create, you have a booth, I'm sure. Do you have a booth?
I can have a booth, yeah.
You can have a booth.
But also I would like to actually be here because when we first did KP, yeah. I was in college in New York City.
Oh.
So I wasn't in the booth with them. And so I think that would be something that would be worth yeah. my time. And so like, yes, I think you start to value your time
yeah.
differently. And I yeah. think that's where I'm at. With all that. And what I will say-
It's funny how there's fear. Even if it's something that you're excited yeah. about, but that's where we're supposed to talk to our mind and say, I'm excited. It's excitement. And you have to change your thinking from like, it's fear to like, okay, I'm feeling a little butterfly. Maybe it's excitement. And like change your brain because your brain will think something's wrong. I'm in fear. I'm in danger. You know, and it's not really danger, but it's like anytime something new starts to come, it creates like- I'm noticing like everybody gets it. That yeah. kind of fluttery, weird. I used to do this. I did this one woman show that I think you guys knew about, but the one called Listen Closely. Did I ever get you a link to that? I don't know.
Please do because I was aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
I knew about it.
Listen Closely.
It was popular.
Yeah, it was
really
cool.
Popular. You would do it all around town.
I did it in town. I did 3 6-week runs, but now it's on DVD. It's on Amazon. It's a one woman autobiographical musical. And it's a whole bunch of my journey and talks about my career, but it also talks about my life. And it's crazy. I'll send you a link.
Please.
But it is on Amazon. And also the Listen Up Close and Personal voiceover seminar is on Amazon too. It's got a lot of tips and tools. But what I was going to say is every time I went to do the show, the Listen Closely, I did like these runs and it was to a live packed standing room only audience. And it just kept growing. And every time I had to get ready to go get on, I put my wardrobe was on. I had a stage manager and he would sit with me backstage. I'd just get done doing my makeup and I'd be like, I think I'm going to throw up.
Did you actually ever throw up?
I never threw up.
Yeah, and then.
But I literally was like, I literally feel like I'm going to throw up. And he'd be like, you'll be okay. And I'm like, no, Jake, I think I'm going to throw up. Like all the time, like every time I had to go out and do this show mm-hmm. and he would just push me out on the stage, and then the second I was out there, all of it went away. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the show, I just felt like $1 million.
Yeah.
And so it really is that little split second where you just have to say, like, I'm feeling fearful, but I'm excited. This is going to be good. Like when you're talking about if Kim Possible comes back or, you know.
By the way, you had told me that there was some rumor of
a Powerpuff
reboot.
Girls?
Yeah.
I mean.
My favorite show ever that totally inspired me to be Kim Possible. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I grew up watching it and I was like, and also Rugrats, but. Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, Powerpuff Girls. Like, three little superhero little girls. I mean, what is better?
There was no representation like that before you guys. So,
so great.
It was always like Strawberry Shortcake or like, you know, I don't even know. Like,
but these were like tough. Nothing.
Jem was kind of like that, but not really.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's been like, I know Craig McCracken, the creator, has been putting little blurbs out here and there and talks about, I think, wanting to do a Powerpuff Girl real reboot. Like, not different cast, not like, because they did try to attempt that. You can't do that.
They're too smart. Millennials are too smart. They want the original
character. And they did it. And it failed. And Craig was sad. And Craig McCracken posted online, like, I won't quote him, but I'll just say that he said something of like, I don't support not, you know, there's only the real original girls. Mm. That's it. Mm. Those are the girls. And I support people trying new things and stuff, but not with something that established. It's like, it's too tough.
It's in the minds of those people, right? The art was created a very certain way. And to recreate it is kind of like blasphemous.
Well, changing the voice. It's like, hey guys, here's your mom. And then kids were raised with the mom for like their whole little lives. And then all of a sudden one day you're like, here's your new mom. And she's like your mom. And the kids are like, huh? Like, you can't change them.
Accurate.
You can't, right? You can't.
So accurate.
Yeah, you can't. All of a sudden, here's your mom. And you're like, well, that's my mom. No, here's going to be your new mom. Like, no.
Because I said so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I just think that's a mistake. But a lot of people do that, and then they learn, and the shows fold. So that's a drag. But if the Powerpuff Girls comes back, I think it feels like it would. It feels like it's such a no-brainer show. Just like Rugrats. Rugrats is, like, such a no-brainer show.
Yeah.
And the amount of merch that they do and the... I mean, there's so much crazy merch on Rugrats right now, like the Puma stuff. And
they sent me stuff. I know.
Did they?
A while back, they sent me a reptile cereal bowl. It was Reptar.
In the cereal box
cute.
They sang?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so cute.
That was really
That's
cute.
A collector's item.
Is it really? Oh, no. My kids have like nicked it up and all.
Yeah, I know. Mine too. Mine wrote it.
Like how much awesome merch you probably have in your house?
I have a whole cabinet.
Yeah.
That's you could see it on the Cribs episode. It's loaded with like... Rugrats, Buttercup, Powerpuff Girls, Babe, Happy Feet, you know.
That's so fun.
Yeah, Puma shoes and yeah.
That's really so cool.
Yeah.
So I do want to go back to when we talk about the eras of Hollywood
yeah.
and how you've been here for a really, really long time. You were born here, which is also very rare.
Yeah, it's rare. Yeah.
What do you feel like you've seen, just trying to think, like, I'm thinking back on, like, when I think of Hollywood and what it was like, not in the 2000s,
yeah.
but more like the Viper Room, like, gritty.
What did I see?
I mean, you were a rocker chick.
Okay, here's what I saw.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so I lived on Clark Street, which is right above from the Whiskey-A-Go-Go, mm-hmm. when I was, like, 18.
Yep.
And across the street, and I was playing all over the Sunset Strip. I had, like, rock bands and... You know,
you were like the lead singer of rock bands?
I was like in all kinds of bands. Yeah, I was in a band called Slave that was like a metal band and I played all across the strip. And my first band was Overman. I was always doing something on the strip. That was my playground. But when I lived in that Clark Street apartment, my window looked across the street to a big building right across the street. And in that building lived all the Motley Crue guys.
this is going exactly the way I thought it would.
So, I mean, they were like... You know, yeah. Uh-huh. And they were just starting to blow up. Like they were starting to play the Whiskeys and we were all always hanging. I'd go to their place. Vince Neil would be like, I'm starving. And I'd be like, come over. I'll cook you a can of beans. And I'd crack open a can of beans. That's the cook that I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Nikki Sixx would come over or like, it was like, and then there were like, I'd be at a party and then someone would say, E.G., I meet these little rockers and like, we're going to have a rehearsal in a little rehearsal room. And it was like this big.
Yeah.
The drum kit, the bass player, the guitar, and everything was crammed in this much space. And they were like, come to our rehearsal. We just met each other and we'd all became friends. So I'd go to their rehearsal and I'd sit on the floor because there was nowhere else. And that was like poison, you know. And then, yeah. And same as like Guns N' Roses, like all those guys were locals. I could see Axl Warren. You know,
were these the rocker boyfriends that we're talking about? Saying names, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of them, like Matt Sorum is the drummer for Guns N' Roses, and he was my boyfriend for a year. There was a lot of different boyfriends. There was also a lot of actors, like, you know, that I mean, it's online, but you can't even stop it. People like, oh, she dated him, put it on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, she dated him, put it on the list.
Oh, it's a who's dated who.
Oh, yeah. It's all over the place.
Ooh,
but what I'm saying is, but my rocker days were like truly like,
it felt like your muse. You strike me as like a muse. Really.
Thanks.
I mean it.
Wow.
Like of that time, of that era of your talented life, like giving.
It was a big deal for me that time period.
Yeah.
Because music was really like my first love. Mm. And then out of music, my voice was like the thing.
Yeah.
But music was always the main thing. And then all of a sudden my voiceover career took off, I think because of my singing. Because I could, you know, you manipulate your voice, you can sing. But really the base and the foundation of me was this little rocker that lived in Hollywood and went to all those clubs.
Yeah.
And all those rocker
boyfriends. And lived on Clark Street.
And I've had boyfriends that like put beer in the hair and they smell like cigarettes and, you know, and that was sexy.
I no judgment. It's really interesting now, by the way. I'm curious to see what you think of this. So right now, like masculinity, like the sort of Abercrombie Fitch, like that's like my thing. It's like.
You like
Mr.
That?
Clean Cut, my husband is like absolutely my type. But I mean, I've had many types, honey. I've had many types.
I've had those types too.
That's my husband. That's my life, man. That was who I think I was always destined to be with. And I think in some ways, when you have a type, it might actually end up being because that is
forever.
The person you're meant to sort of gravitate to.
I agree with you in a way.
In a way, right?
I really do because I've always had sort of a type too.
Yeah.
And I just feel more... Something feels, I don't know what it is. And
drawn to something, right?
Whatever it is.
It's a theory.
It's a weird thing, but I kind of agree.
It's a theory. But right now, like sexiness is very like androgynous. And I feel like it was a little androgynous during the hairband days too.
It was very androgynous.
Is it cyclical, you think? Like sexuality in that way? Like men sort of being perceived as sexy? I mean, there's always a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
In Hollywood of like what's trending. Mm-hmm. But right now we've got like guys with muscles wearing pearl necklaces.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's
I don't remember
right
it ever being this far.
Okay.
Do you?
No. But again, I wasn't hanging out with the rockers who were wearing the tight pants.
Back then they were wearing tight pants because that was like not everybody was wearing tight pants.
That was punk rock.
Rock stars. Yeah, punk rock. Tight to your ankle, skinny legs, beat up t-shirts, tattoos, eye makeup.
Yeah.
That was what you did as a rocker. Like, yeah. You know, that was what you did.
Punk now, is very different now. Punk is very, very.
Do you think?
The idea of wearing the pearl necklace is like really fascinating to me.
That's interesting.
I'll show you pictures. But yeah, like I don't basically, know that. So basically a lot of like really popular hip hop artists and, you know.
Pearl necklaces?
They're wearing pearl necklaces as fashion. They're wearing it on red carpets. And yeah, and it's a sort of like, I think a really great way of them showing that like toxic masculinity is not going to own
that.
Them.
I
yeah.
love that.
But yeah, so like, that's the thing is I really appreciate how you've lived that life. And then again, acknowledging that you were able to utilize your voice skill set
right.
to manipulating it for. And then I remember on our I Hear Voices yeah. interview, you said that there yeah. was a baby voice that you used to do.
As a kid.
What was it for? You would give something a voice or you just did it?
I just like, that was my thing. When I was in elementary school, I had a best friend and she and I would walk around the playground and we would talk to each other as babies. So we'd be yeah. like, oh, that's so pretty. That's really pretty full. Like her, you know, we would just like talk like little kids and yeah. the more like a little kid you get, the more funny it was. But one of the voices that I used to talk like was, oh, I don't really think he's very, very nice. And then decades later, I go for an audition and they show me this claymation of this little character, this little boy, and he's got kind of floppy lips. And I was like, wow, they're like, can you do that? I'd never been on a voice audition before. Mm. It was my first cartoon audition.
Oh, wow.
Ever in my career. So I was like, went from singing to acting to like my first voiceover cartoon. And I was like, God, it sort of sounds like that voice I've been doing my whole life.
Wild.
And so I do the voice for this claymation. And then I find out the next day or whatever, oh, you did a great job on that. You booked it. I'm like, my first audition, I booked it.
You're like, it's that hard?
And like, I couldn't believe it. To me, that was like, I'd never felt like something came that easily in my life as voiceover did. Voiceover came so easily.
Meant to be.
Yeah. On camera was always like a bit of a grind, even though I've done a ton of movies. And it was always like the auditioning thing I didn't like and the casting calls. And then you'd do great for two auditions and then you'd suck on the third and then you'd lose it. Mm. And then they'd say, you're the number one choice. Oh, they went another way. To me, I couldn't deal with any
of that. That part of the business has killed so much of it for me.
I can't do it anymore.
The politics of it.
I can't do it anymore.
Sucks.
Yeah. So for me, then I just sit back and I wait until people call me because they do,
yeah.
but I don't have as much choice, but I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I like had to call my, even my VO agents and say, I'm not doing any more of these auditions.
Yeah.
Only the primetime main ones or the really good.
I think you're at a place yeah. where.
And they're fine with that. They're like, yeah. no problem. And those are the jobs yeah. I get. But I couldn't do like every radio commercial that they want to hit me up with.
And it's like five a day, six a day.
I was can't do it anymore.
I can't even imagine.
No, can't do it
you're
anymore.
Like working. I know there was yeah. a big pushback in Hollywood for people putting themselves on tape for auditions. And they were like, yeah. I need to be paid for this if you're going to make me.
It's a lot. You're spending 2 hours. You yeah. get the copy. You're in your booth. You're yeah. editing your own auditions. You have to do a couple versions sometime.
And, I mean, do we even yeah. know? I'm sure people are listening to your audition, but there's a lot of people that I'm like, once you send it out, do they even, you don't even know how they're
nothing,
looking at it.
Nothing. You don't even know if they really got it.
Yeah.
It's all a mystery and I'm not willing to live like that.
No.
Anymore. And that's the beauty of getting older. Yeah. That's a part of my
valuing
wisdom is that I go, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me
no.
anymore. Yeah. No.
The power
that's
of
a
no.
That's a no. Yeah. That's yeah. a no.
So vulnerable when we first talked about it, and yeah. you were really for sort of one of the first like people that took an interest in the concept 100%. Of it.
1,000%. Just that word to me is beautiful.
It's illuminated.
It's a beautiful word.
I've played with wanting to like, you know, grow up the set a little bit. Like I've played with like, hey, maybe I should rebrand it.
No,
maybe
I think it's simple.
Maybe even I should change the name itself.
Why?
Because, and I'm really glad to kind of unpack this, I felt like vulnerable came at a time for me where I was unpacking a lot of stuff publicly.
Yeah, I get it.
And I wanted other people to come on and unpack their truth.
Yeah.
And it's never not important to understand and have a relationship to the word vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so when that comes up, it can mean so many different things. Yeah. It can represent so many different people.
Yeah.
I've had folks with disabilities on.
Yeah.
I've had folks that are, you know, trans actresses
yeah.
who are making huge milestones on mm-hmm. Disney Channel. I've had
love that.
I've had such a spectrum of folks. I have approached this as a journalistic
yeah.
like endeavor.
Yeah.
With sort of with, like, I guess a novice approach of it being my friends,
yeah,
and folks I had learned, met on social media. So in and of itself, the experience of creating vulnerable is vulnerable.
It is.
Because when people sort of judge my guest list, my hustle culture trigger is like activated. They're like, well, I should get Hillary Duff. I should be getting these people. And it's like,
yeah,
no, I have a feeling that this is actually more meaningful than all that. Mm. And so if I just keep looking down, moving forward, like what you're saying.
I think it's just like hearing that little, very simple, like, that's who I want. Yeah. I want that person. That's enough. Like to hear that little voice of like, go do a live today. Do a little TikTok live. Like really just listening to that little tiny voice. It's so hard not to be influenced by everybody's idea of what should be. But really what makes your thing special is that voice of you that's saying, I really want to do a show called Vulnerable. Mm. I really want to tap into some real feelings. Mm. I really want to have guests on where we can go deeper. And that's what makes things win.
Is it okay that I'm not like super qualified?
What's qualified? You're a living human person that's had life and you've experienced anxiety and you have children and you've been married and yeah. you've experienced being in Hollywood, which is a whole thing in itself. Mm. So like,
it just is.
Who's more qualified?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's not, you know what I mean? How can you not be qualified for life?
Yeah.
Because being vulnerable is a big piece of life. And you can't really grow, I think. You can't really get better in life unless you're authentic and vulnerable. I really think like, you know, you can put a big show and a big face and then one day you're going to get slammed down on onto the ground. And it's those moments where you're slammed down on the ground where you're the most vulnerable, where new things start to grow. And I don't think you can grow until you hit the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like, it's like that theory. It's so beautiful, but like a butterfly, like a worm or a caterpillar turns into this little cocoony, gooey, weird thing. And it thinks it's, you know, you look at it and it looks like it's dead. It's dying. And, you know, it's those moments where something really beautiful is happening and then it grows into a butterfly. And also the thing of like, being vulnerable is part of the process of freeing yourself too. It's part of all those old deep-rooted things that we layer on as you get older, and they just layer on, which is why as you get older, you get more anxiety and stuff because there's so many layered pieces that you haven't unpacked.
Yeah.
But like, it's like that thing, I read this beautiful thing that said, there's a little butterfly and it's in a cocoon and you try to you see it beating and it's trying to beat itself out of the cocoon. And like this woman saw it and she was worried that it wasn't able to get out of the cocoon. And so she kind of cracked the shell a little bit. Like she went in and peeled it open a little so the butterfly could get out. And the butterfly got out, but the butterfly didn't get the strength it needed to build its wings, which was part of the process, which is part of feeling shitty and part of feeling vulnerable and part of feeling insecure and part of feeling not like you don't know what you want to do next. All those things are part of building your wings so that when you finally allow yourself the time to feel vulnerable and go through those feelings, the butterfly comes out and then its wings are strong and then it starts to fly. But if you bypass it by somebody helping you peel it open or, does that make sense?
Yeah.
That was a beautiful analogy.
It is a beautiful
analogy. And I also love
they eat their, it's called a chrysalis. I know this only because my kids had to study it in elementary school. It's called a chrysalis. Uh-huh. And then they eat it because it's made of sugar.
Oh,
and then the glucose, but this is also kind of poetic in support of what you're saying. They eat that chrysalis cocoon, which is made of the glucose from their webbing or whatever.
It's incredible.
And it gives them the energy to fly off.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And then here's the other butterfly analogy. That's beautiful though. I didn't know that.
Right?
Yeah, I love that. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for good days and there's a purpose for bad days. It's just that when it's a bad day, you think, something's wrong, I feel shitty, and how am I going to feel better? And you want to just push it away and get out of it already. But instead of just going, I'm just going to sit in this, I'm going to feel it. Here's the other beautiful butterfly analogy I love, which is like my daughters and I say this to each other. It's like you don't want to catch the butterfly. You don't want to catch it. Mm. You want to build a beautiful garden and let the butterflies come to you. And that is a little bit of, I think, life. And that's what I think the new year represented for me was like, I want to like build a beautiful garden and let more butterflies come to me.
Maybe you should actually build a garden.
I'm gonna build a butterfly garden.
For real. Maybe you should. Maybe you should actually grow things, even though you may not cook. Like maybe that could be a little something.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. I don't know if I know anything about, is it botany? What is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Growing things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I did build a temporary animal shelter in my property. I was going to try to rescue some dogs that are, they're putting so many dogs asleep in the shelters because they're full. Mm. But I haven't started yet, but I did build that. But that will bring in something later. But who knows? Yeah. But I'm just saying figuratively.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to tell my girls that too.
It's really beautiful.
You're such a good mama. I'm so proud to have you now part of our vulnerable friend of the pod. And thank you for all this amazing insight.
Yeah.
And really, truly, inspiring me to feel like a part of the voiceover community, even though I'm not really.
Yeah, you are.
I'm always playing it down. I've done a ton of books on tape with Audible, and I could do that in a second if they called me. I'd love to. It's not worth the time wise.
It's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time and a lot of talking.
Yeah. I've done some of those when I was like, oh my God, this is
a lot.
Oh my God.
And if you're doing it on your own.
Oh, it's a lot.
And you have to read it.
Yeah, it's too much.
Love it. Love it. Really
fun. Some people
are
really natural and just do it and it's good for them.
Yeah.
I couldn't do,
You know, there's a season. What you're telling me is that there's a season of life for everything. There's a season of coming and going and that you've got to trust that process.
You do.
While preserving your own joy.
You do. And you shouldn't be feel icky if you're going to move towards something. It should feel, sometimes a little fear just because you're trying something new, but it shouldn't be I don't want to do this. That's a no.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
I think.
So we learned a lot today. Please go follow EG if you don't already.
Okay, yeah. You want
to do it for me. Do it for her because she's amazing. Thank you for coming on Vulnerable. Thank you for taking your time to be in studio. And yes, thanks, EG.
You're welcome.